You're listening to KBSX 91.5. I'm Samantha Wright. Thanks for being with us for a special conversation about Idaho StoryCorps. Over the past 3 months, we've brought you stories from people around Idaho who stepped into a mobile recording booth this summer in Boise to share their stories. It's part of a national oral history project, StoryCorps. Since 2003, StoryCorps has collected and archived more than 50,000 interviews with nearly 90,000 people, and their conversations are archived at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. Each Friday on KBSX, you can hear StoryCorps during NPR's Morning Edition. Now, when StoryCorps came to Boise this June, we had the chance to create our own Idaho StoryCorps project. Out of 131 interviews recorded in the Silver Airstream trailer outside of Boise City Hall, we chose 14 interviews to air on KBSX. One of those interviews struck a chord with many listeners. Charmaine Westcott and her biological mother, Sherry Jurd, told their story of how Charmaine hired a private detective to find her birth mother.
It was frustrating. The records are sealed when you're adopted, so I didn't have any information. I was eventually able to find out my birth name. And so when I hired the private detective, that's how she found you, is through the birth name. And it was 2 weeks after I had hired her that she called me when I was at work and told me that she had found you. I drove home from work. God, I remember that drive. It was the longest drive, and I was bawling my eyes out the whole way home because this was a turning point in my life. I didn't have a good relationship with my adopted mother. She never told me that I was adopted, and she wouldn't have. I found out through somebody else, and she denied it. We just never had a connection growing up, and I had always fantasized about having a different family, and I'd always been jealous of my friends that had mothers that they could go to and talk to, because that's not something I ever had. And of course, I had no idea what you would be like. I had no guarantee of what you would be like. I had some expectations of what you would be like. And it made logical sense to me that you would be like me, because I was nothing like my adopted parents.
So when you got home that day from work, what happened?
So I called you. And you said, hello. When I said hello, do you remember that? And we have the same voice.
And we both started crying.
That's all we did was say hello. And I think people that grow up close to their mothers maybe don't understand what it's like to hear that.
And don't appreciate it like we do. So in that way, we're blessed.
But you know what? Sometimes I think, what would it have been like if I had stayed with you? And I am pretty sure I'd be taking you for granted right now. And I will never, ever take you for granted. Mom, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me, and you have no idea.
We're so happy you're finally a part of our family. And the whole family loves you.
I know. I love you, Mom.
I love you too, sweetie.
We caught up with Charmaine and her mother, Sherry, recently. Charmaine lives in Boise and joined us in the studio with her mom, who was having a busy week at work, on the phone. I asked Charmaine why they wanted to record their story at StoryCorps.
Well, it was my idea. I was familiar with StoryCorps. I listen to NPR a lot. And I heard they were coming to Boise, and I just thought it would be a really good opportunity to do with my mom, since it is such a good story. I also thought that it would be a good bonding experience between us, because it's been 16 years now since we first met. And I think both of us sometimes take our mother-daughter relationship for granted. And I think it's a good reminder to sit down with each other and tell the story all over again.
Sherry, what did you say when she told you what she wanted to do? She wanted to go to StoryCorps.
I thought it was a really good idea. She tells the story so well, and she adds humor to it. It's such a happy story with a happy ending. I just wanted to share that with people.
It's a very emotional story. It came out on the radio, and what kind of response did you get? Charmaine, what was the response that you got from the story?
I got a few emails from people I hadn't heard from in a while, just saying, I just heard you on the radio. Most of the people I'm close to know the story. I was really happy that you guys kept the piece where we're talking about how our voices sound the same, because they sound the same on what you guys put on the radio. And even my mom and I were questioning who was speaking, you know. So, yeah, we both cried. After the StoryCorps, I don't remember how long it was, 40 minutes or something like that, we came home, and they give you the CD right there. So we came home and listened to it again right after we did it, and we just, both of us, cried again.
Sherry, what was the response on your end when you heard it on the radio?
The response I got mostly was from my Facebook friends and family. They just all said, you know, what a wonderful story it was and how it made them cry, you know. It was wonderful to share it. I really appreciated that.
Was there any hesitation to share it? Because it's pretty personal, it's emotional.
You know, there really wasn't, because ever since I was pregnant and had Charmaine, gave her up for adoption, my whole family knew about it. My close friends knew about it. So it was never a secret. No, I didn't.
She was nervous at first.
I was nervous. Yes, I was nervous because I knew it was being recorded and it was going to go out. But no, I didn't have trepidation at all.
Now, you two seem very close, and I gather you've been close ever since you found each other.
Yes, I feel very close to my daughter.
You know, when we first met each other, you know, after our heads cleared, we can look back on it and see that we were in love with each other. You know, it was almost an obsessive sort of thing. I, you know, had pictures of her, and I would actually stop people on the street and just, you know, tell them the story and show them the pictures. And I was so proud of her. And yeah, and I know that my mom did the same thing. We talked to each other every day. We wrote letters. But yeah, we were in love with each other. It took us a while to come back to reality.
The rest of my family, I think, felt neglected during that period, because it was all encompassing. It was just all consuming as far as, you know, catching up. We had so much catching up to do, and it just was really time consuming, and my rest of my family did suffer because of it.
Yeah. We had an immediate connection, though. There was so much about us that was similar. We sound the same, and our mannerisms are the same. We have a lot of the same tastes in philosophies and music and that kind of thing. We use the same products. My mom even had the same comforter on her bed that I had had. We would say things at the same time. Do you remember that, Mom?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah.
So how are you two now? You two get along, and you went on vacation together just recently.
Yes, we did. It was my 66th birthday, and we went to the Oregon coast, and the whole immediate family was there. It was just wonderful. I had such a great time.
So do you feel happy that you two went in the StoryCorps booth and shared your tale?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we did it.
Well, it sounds like you would do StoryCorps again.
Absolutely. It was a great experience, and I would definitely recommend it. Everyone has a story to tell, you know. Relationships, there's always a story.
You guys want to say goodbye to each other?
I love you, honey. You have a good day at work. I'm thinking of you.
I love you too, Mama.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Charmaine Westcott and her biological mother, Sherry Jurd, met in person 16 years ago. They've been inseparable ever since. Westcott even moved from California to Boise to be closer to her mom. They get together often to go thrift shopping, watch movies, and eat Indian food and sushi. As you might imagine, with 131 interviews, there were a lot of stories that never made it to the radio. One of those comes from Gary Lane. He's an outdoor enthusiast who loves Idaho's wild places, especially those places where he can fish. Lane visited the StoryCorps booth in Boise and told his friend Greg Stahl about the first time he caught a fish.
My folks took us by horseback into Eagle Cap Wilderness area. I think I might have been in the second or third grade, and I caught my first salmon there, and a wild salmon. And that really hooked me on fishing and the whole outdoor world.
Was that a Chinook? A Chinook salmon?
Yeah, Chinook.
And were you fly fishing?
Wow. Did I tell you this story before?
I don't know if I've heard it.
I don't think I have, but that's pretty amazing you asked that, because I should tell you two stories. Because the first salmon I caught, well, I didn't really catch it. It was a big one, too, and I drug it out. I was just a kid, I drug it out on the bank, and it came off my hook and it was flopping around. And I was afraid to go grab it because my dad, he was, he had a good sense of humor, and he was joking as we were coming in. He told me these salmon could bite you. I thought it was going to bite me, so I was afraid it was going to get me, and it flopped back in and swam away. And I was all excited, so I went and told my dad, and he says, oh, I was just kidding. I thought, So I ran back to the river. These two Chinook, side by side, probably 3 foot long, were coming up, and I could see them. And I cast out, and it was perfect cast. I mean, it landed right in front of this one salmon. And when that fish came up out of the water to take that bumblebee fly, just as the mouth was about to go down over the fly, I pulled back and missed him because I was too soon. Being a kid, I just was too excited. And then it got stuck in the tree behind me, and I couldn't get it loose. By the time I could climb the tree and get it, the fish were gone.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget it.
Gary Lane got a degree in wildlife science from Oregon State University in the 1970s. Scientific jobs were scarce, so he got a job as an outfitter on the Salmon River. In 1979, he started his own outfitting business in Riggins, which is still going strong today.